Well, look, I was 50 when the war started. I'd at least on in May of that year, 23rd of May, I'd just got out of short trousers, and I was a painter and decorated apprentice at the time. Well, what I did when I was there, I was heard because it was the morning Sunday school at Taunton Sunday School, I still underline. Went home and listened to Chamberlain on the radio, and then I, as the days went on, I read the paper every day when the war started, and I volunteered when I was 16 to become the cyclist messenger in the civil defence. Well, what happened was that there was no cyclist messengers recruited in Lymers, which is part of Ashton-under-Lyne at that time, yeah. But we persuaded them they need to get us on the list. And after that, the first bombs dropped round in this area. So they quickly recruited us. And we used to do a weekly overnight stay. And the report centre, cancer telephones were broken.
So
we stayed overnight once a week. Well, the bombs were not exactly where I was. They were ahead in the fields just off and into Hillgate, Ashton at the time. There were only scattered ones that were abandoned from the main target of Manchester. The Manchester Blitz hadn't started then. What happened then was the fact that when I was 18, I volunteered to be aircrew. I went through the various tests and requirements, and I was, after waiting time, which is called deferred service, I was called up to start my training at Lord's Cricket Ground. And that's where I did my initial inoculations and kitted out in uniform. And we stayed in these luxury flats in that part of London that had just been built. So we stayed there for 3 weeks. And then I went on to initial training wing at Bridge North, and I was classified to become a wireless operator air gunner. What they did, they separated people into various categories, and I was Darren Vasa, wireless operator air gunner. I wasn't classified as pilot, navigator, or bomber, so we did a separate course. We were concerned that we were on the technical course, and we were part of technical training command. And Morse was our main communication. We had to be able to read Morse at 80 words a minute when we qualified.
Wow.
And from there, after we'd done the trained as a wireless operator, they decided that they needed us an air gunner as well, because the aircraft that were being used went from four crew aircraft into the four-engine bombers, which needed specialist air crew for wireless operators. So we were on a delayed course there, and they sent me off to, after I'd been to Bridge North for the initial training wing, I was sent to Scotland to do an air gunnery course. And this air gunnery course, when it finished there, were sent overseas by a week in the Atlantic and a week in the Mediterranean to arrive in Egypt for our next stage of our training. And this was, in fact, when I was sent to go and find an operational training unit of the South African Air Force. And they said, go and find a South African air crew. They're waiting for you, because there were five South Africans in a brand new aircraft who wanted a wireless operator air gunner. I'd done a wireless operator's course there and was then promoted as a sergeant. And then I was went to do this air gunnery course in Scotland. And from there, I was in Egypt, and they told me to go and find a South African crew. There were five crew members, all South African, who were waiting for myself to become part of their six-man crew. When I linked up with them in Egypt,
yeah,
and I was crewed up with a South African air crew, and I was sent, after we'd done that, and we'd spent some time waiting, they sent us to Italy, where the 12th Squadron South African Air Force were operating. And they had just been equipped with a brand new aircraft, the B-26 Martin Marauder, which had a six of a crew. So I was a sixth man to make up their crew in Italy. And I finished up at 12th Squadron South African Air Force at a place called Jesi, J-E-S-I,
yeah,
which is part of Desert Air Force. And from there, we operated in daylight, in formation, attacking the Germans and pushing them back into North Italy. So
wow.
They eventually got VE Day there, which came earlier than the ordinary VE Day, a couple of days earlier, because the Germans capitulated and gave up in Italy.
Yeah.
What was my feeling when we were told that the war had finished?
Yes.
Well, they told us, first of all, we're confined to camp. We're not allowed out, because they said the Italians had a lot of dirty washing to wash, and they were cutting the hair of the women who'd been fraternizing with the Italian, with the Germans, and we were billeted in an old derelict school building in a village called Yezi.
Yeah.
Here on corner, and that's where I celebrated my my birthday in May 1945. Yes, it is my birthday. And whilst I was there, I finished up my 20 operational trips in daylight, in formation, attacking the Germans in North Italy. What did VD mean to me? It was a relief, the fact that there was no more fighting. I'd survived the war. And that was the main thing, was it was a relief to know that I was could live another day. Because, of course, the losses of air crew were high. But fortunately, when you're in Italy, when the war was coming to an end, it became less losses, and it wasn't as dangerous as Bomber Command. So that's we look after people when they come out of the forces, so they're not going to be suffer from having served in the forces. They're going to be looked after and pointed in the right way, health-wise, occupation, and everything. With tasks, a fellowship of ex-service people.